Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation here this evening. You can give us a call toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And we are going to go ahead and get our program started here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you for the medium that we have. We just pray that we'd use it for your glory. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ through it. Help us, Lord, to point people that are searching to Christ, and we'd encourage believers in their walk with you, and to use us for your glory tonight. We pray, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight, and we got quite a number of things going on. This has been a busy week, but thankfully this weekend has been somewhat quieter than last weekend was. We'll be talking about some of the things that have been going on, and of course, we'll talk about your questions and things about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. So just a reminder, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we certainly invite you to visit us there. We'll have more information about that coming up. Also, find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find us on YouTube from that page, or you can go to our Facebook page. That is facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And hopefully in just a few moments, you'll have a link there to our YouTube broadcast that'll be coming up on that site there, as well as links to some other things, a number of articles and things that we put there from time to time, all at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. Well, we're going to have to jump into a few things with our telephone calls here this evening as well. And again, that toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. We got a couple of people who've already called in, ready to go, and we haven't heard from Terry for a little while. We're going to jump to Terry here this evening. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Good. The weather's been nice here today.
Oh, absolutely gorgeous here in northeastern Ohio as well.
Not too cold, not too, the temperature kind of went down quite a bit, so, but that's good.
Yeah, it cooled out a little bit this evening. I think it was about 60 or 61 when I got out of my car here to come into the studio. But we had a nice, pleasant day today. I mean, it just, not too humid, not too warm, just gorgeous.
I wish every day was like this.
You know, we'd get tired of it. Human beings, what we are. I'm sure there's somebody out there that would never get tired of it, but most people would get tired of it.
There's something I always look forward to the spring, and I always look forward to the winter and the fall.
Mm-hmm. I heard somebody a long time ago say that at least in northeastern Ohio, part of where you're at in Canada is probably a similar thing. You know, he said, you know, God gave us just enough of each season to get tired of it, so that we're ready for the next one.
I've been studying. I read this one book. It's called on Romans, and mm-hmm. It's an exposition on chapters 3:20 and 4:25.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks a lot about atonement and justification.
And you're talking about Romans chapter 3, you said?
3:20 and 4:25. And it talks a lot about the atonement and justification in those chapters.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at here, and 3:20. Yeah, that in Romans 3:20 is, let me find where I'm at here. Yeah, that is a short sentence of one verse, and then the next several verses actually through verse number 30, it's all one sentence to basically elaborate a little bit on justification. But yeah. What do you know what book it was, the title of the book? I'm just curious.
It's by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You've heard of him?
Yeah, I have. When I was in England, I was stationed in England in the United States Air Force back in the 1980s, and for whatever reason, I was at a base, RAF Chicksands, which was just south of Bedford, England. And Bedford, England, of course, was where one of the most famous books in the world outside of the Bible. In fact, it was for several hundred years, I think close to 300 years, the only book that outsold it or was outprinted by this book, or, you know, that outprinted this book, I guess, if I'm saying that's not the correct way of saying it, was the Bible. But the book that I'm talking about is Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan.
Yep.
That was the most printed book in the English language outside of the King James Bible for nearly 300 years, written about the same time in the 1600s. It is, in fact, in Bedford, England, I was looking at one of their sites recently, and they were saying that they ought to be known for the Bard on the River Ouse, just like Stratford-on-Avon was known for the Bard on Stratford and Avon, which, of course, is Shakespeare. Similar time frame. In the Pilgrim Bookstore there, which is a Christian bookstore in Bedford, they had a lot of books by Lloyd Martin Jones.
Yeah, he wrote a lot of them. I think most of them were all sermons that he did in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Based on sermons that he did. And, you know, that's one thing that how can people believe that you can lose your salvation when, you know, like Romans talks all about the, you know, everlasting life, propitiation of our faith, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
Well, you know, a lot of times what it simply is misunderstanding or lack of knowledge, lack of understanding of the scriptures. You know, there's in our church, and of course I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, we have been going through a series of things refuting the proof texts of Calvinism. People say, well, then you must be an Arminianist. And I say, no, I'm not an Arminianist either. I'm a Biblicist. Calvinism and Arminianism are opposite ends of the spectrum. They're man-made systems designed to try to help people understand difficult passages. And the Arminian system basically believes that you can lose your salvation and things of that nature. And so if you say, well, I don't believe you can lose your salvation, they say you're a Calvinist. But then Calvinists say, well, if you believe you can choose whether or not to be saved, you're an Arminianist. And they try to put you on this false dichotomy between Arminianism, where man's will trumps God's will, and Calvinism, where God's will is supreme, there's no other will. And the reality is, if you picture a triangle with the biblical position at the top, where you have the free will to choose whether or not to trust Christ as your Savior, then once you do that, God in His sovereign will has decreed that you will never be unsaved. Once you belong to Him, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And He said He gave us eternal life and you'll never perish. And people who think you have to be on the line between Calvinism and Arminianism, they make mistakes. And the Arminian side, they fail to understand some of the things that God is saying, talking about loss of fellowship and loss of reward, and they confuse that with loss of salvation. And so, yeah, like I said, a lot of times it's just misunderstanding or lack of knowledge or lack of understanding.
Like the Old Testament talks about the sacrifice that only covered their sins for a year, you know, when the high priest went into the temple.
Yeah, and that was the sin that was of the nation too.
Yeah.
But individuals, you know, they made their offerings, and by faith You know, remember Abraham, the Bible says, this is before the law, by faith, he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And others, the same thing, it was their faith. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about that extensively.
Like, it's simple. It's all there. It's all, the law of establishment, boasting excluded, vindication, justification, faith only.
Yeah, and when you're bringing up Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 there, where it says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And if, the Arminian position is true, where you may get saved by grace, you're not kept by grace, you're kept by works.
Yeah. And the law can't save us.
Yeah, and
the law actually never could save anything.
Yeah, and that's a problem, and Paul had upbraided people in Galatians and also in other parts of some of his letters, for putting themselves, being made free, being put back, trying to put themselves back under the law. And even the best of the Jewish religious leaders could not keep the law completely. And if you sin in one point of the law, you've broken the entirety of the law. It's like the law is not like a corded rope or a cable. It's like a chain. A corded rope or cable, you can break a number of strands before it gives way. But on a chain, all you have to do is break one link.
Because it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Exactly. Exactly.
We can't glorify. Be glorified in front of God.
In fact,
he had to redeem us.
Yeah, in fact, the people who say that you have to work to keep yourself saved, well, it's kind of interesting because in Romans chapter 3 there, just in that chapter there, the very next verse, it says in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of man, the righteousness of God without the law, just like you said, you can't keep the law. Without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, and that's the whole of the Old Testament scriptures. And then he says in verse 22, even the righteousness of God, there's that phrase again, righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So he says literally God's righteousness is placed on us.
Well, then that's the only way that we can be saved.
Yeah, and so when God looks at us, he doesn't see our righteousness, which he says is as filthy rags. Instead, he sees his righteousness.
It's pretty a lot of deep stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this passage in Romans chapter 3, I think, is a tremendous passage that every Christian should read and go through this several times, right there where you're at. And really, you could jump up and start up about verse 10 where it says, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Mm-hmm. And so how do we get saved? Well, it's by God opening up our heart, and we put our faith in Christ. There's the free will of man. And then he puts his righteousness on us, and he's not going to take it away from us.
By faith are we saved we're saved by faith through faith, not of works, lest any man shall boast.
Yeah. In fact, I just looked down at chapter 4, verse 1, and this is just what we were talking about. It's also reflected in Hebrews chapter 11. He says in Romans chapter 4, verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertained to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. There it is. He believed God.
That's what saved him.
Yes, exactly. And Abraham, what he did, he literally put his faith in the Messiah to come.
Yeah, like God said to Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have children at an old age. And technically, at that age, the womb is...
Yeah, and plus she'd had no kids before. She was considered barren to begin with.
Yeah, and then she was what, close to, I think she was 99 years old or something, or 90, in her 90s, I think, when she had Isaac.
Yeah.
And that was a miracle in itself.
Mm-hmm.
That anybody could even have a child at that age.
Yeah. Well, and they followed God. Oh, here's another good one. It goes along just what you're talking about as well. It says here in verse 5, Romans chapter 4, verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And then he says this about David in verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And this just hit me here as we were talking. God imputeth righteousness without works. Verse 7 saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, so our sins are forgiven, and whose sins are covered, so they're all covered up. And then he says in verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Which means when you're saved, you have God's righteousness, and God no longer, he imputes his righteousness to you, and your iniquities are forgiven, your sins are covered, and he's no longer going to impute sin to you, put sin on you. And call you guilty of sin.
All our sins have been cast into the sea of forgiveness.
Exactly. And that's sins past, present, and future. And people say, well, how can he forgive you of sins that you haven't committed yet? Well, let me ask the person that says that. How many sins had you committed when Jesus died on the cross? You weren't even born yet. All of your sins were yet future. And see, that's, again, the fundamental misunderstanding or lack of knowledge or understanding of the nature of God. God is outside of time. And Arminius and Calvin both struggled with the idea of understanding that God is not trapped in time like we are. God is not a creature of time. God created time, and God exists outside of time. And therefore, when Jesus hung on the cross, he could see our sin, and he could see what we were going to do, and he could see and understand all of the future, because he's watching it all from outside of time. And that's a hard concept for a lot of people to understand. Even people who say they understand it, it's a hard concept to understand.
He's omnipresent.
Yeah, and omnipresent and eternal. And he exists. See, we're, as I tell our church, I say we are creatures in the present. We come from the past. We're on our way to the future via the present. We're always in the present. God, on the other hand, exists in past, present, and future simultaneously. And so, therefore, the past and the future is just as real to God right now as the present is to us.
And in chapter 6, too, like the first of chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid.
Correct.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
Right. It's not a license to sin.
No. We have an advocate with the Father.
Exactly. That's in 1 John chapter 2, there at the beginning of chapter 2. He's the advocate with the Father, because every time that we sin, Jesus Christ is able to say it's under the blood. Right. The devil can say, look, that's supposed to be your child, and he just committed a sin. He broke your law, and the law demands death. And Jesus, as our advocate, can stand up and show the blood on the altar and say, I died for that sin.
But he puts guilt on. He tries to put guilt on us any time we sin.
Oh yeah.
He tries to make us feel guilty, but
mm-hmm.
we shouldn't feel guilty, because God is, he's already forgiven us.
Well, and think about this too. And we saw where it said that God puts his righteousness on us. Is God's righteousness temporal or eternal?
Eternal.
Exactly, because God's an eternal being. So we have the righteousness of God placed on us. So when God sees us, he sees his own eternal righteousness. So now I will admit that there are people who prayed a prayer, claim to be saved, but they never were saved. And yeah, they can fall away into sin and everything and not think anything of it. But if somebody is genuinely born again, they, even if they fall into sin, the Holy Spirit is in them and is going to bear witness with their spirit that they're not living right. And they might put a brave front up to the world, but when they lay their head down on their pillow to sleep, they know they're not right with God. They know what they're doing is not right. And they know that God is dealing with them. And in fact, in Hebrews chapter 13, I think it is, it talks about the chastening of God, the chastening hand of God. He chastens his children. And if somebody who claims to be saved never experiences the chastening of children, it may be because they were never saved in the first place. But the chastening of God it's Hebrews chapter 12. And as we go down in the chapter of Hebrews chapter 12, he says in verse 9, "Furthermore, if we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" That's because the ultimate end of the chastening of God could be the ending of our life. But see, people who believe you lose your salvation, that's what they think that says. It doesn't say that.
There's one that people try to throw, Hebrews chapter 6, I think it is, where people try to throw that on me and say that one.
Oh, in Hebrews chapter 6. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 6, once you understand what's going on, it becomes much easier to understand, because Paul had rebuked them in Hebrews chapter 5 for not becoming mature and still being stuck on the milk. And so the key to Hebrews chapter 6 is found at the end of chapter 5. And then in Hebrews chapter 6, he starts out saying, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." And so now he's going to give them some strong doctrine. And so leaving the simple things, the milk of the word, he's going to give them some strong doctrine. And if the people who are Arminians and the people who are Calvinists understand this, it would cure them of their false ideas. Because when he says in verse 4, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened to have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost," it never says they're saved. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, it never says they're saved. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and put it to an open shame. This is talking about the person who comes under conviction. See, if the let me touch on the Calvinist for a moment. The Calvinist understood this. They would see how an unsaved person can understand a spiritual truth, because they say, well, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, because they're spiritually discerned and they're spiritually dead, so they can't understand it. Well, that is true, but when the Holy Spirit moves on their heart, much like when the Spirit of God moved upon the dark, chaotic earth that was without form and void in Genesis chapter 1 and said, "Let there be light," light came in on the subject, and this unsaved person becomes enlightened. And now they can see and have the opportunity to put their faith in Christ, unlike the Calvinist that says that they literally get saved. Now that they're spiritually alive, they can understand the gospel and trust Christ as their Savior, which is kind of foolish cart before the horse sort of doctrine. But the Arminian says, no, these are people who were saved, and they lost their salvation. And I've heard some of the same people who say that say this passage teaches that you get saved and then you can lose your salvation, and that's what this is talking about, then go on to claim that they lost their salvation one or more times and got saved again, which now shows they really don't know what they're talking about. Because if you look at it, it says in verse 4, "For it is impossible for them, having done all this," verse 6, "if they shall fall away, to renew themselves," or renew them again unto repentance. Which, if this teaches that you can lose your salvation, it also must teach that you can never get saved again. And I don't find those people teaching that. In fact, I find them teaching the opposite, saying, well, I got lost again once. I lost my salvation, but I got resaved. No, if you're going to use Hebrews chapter 6 to teach that you can lose your salvation, then you can't have it both ways. You also have to accept that it would say that you can't get saved again. But it's not talking about losing your salvation. It's talking about people who are enlightened, people whose eyes are opened, and they taste and they see and they understand and they spit it out and they say, I don't want it. Well, how can somebody that rejects the gospel get saved?
Right. And they continuously reject it all their life.
And then they become, I believe, the people that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says can never get saved again because they'll believe the lie. They'll be deceived by the devil and the Antichrist in the tribulation period. You know, there's a whole lot more that we could talk about with this, but
that's a lot. That's a lot of meat.
But see, that's what this is. Chapter 6 is a passage of meat. It tells us how the unsaved person is enlightened by the Holy Spirit moving on that unsaved person's heart and saying, let there be light, so that that cold, dark heart that's void and without form can see the light of Christ. And I believe that this happens when people pray for the unsaved person. That's why we should pray for unsaved people, that God will give them the light so that they have the opportunity to get saved. Hey, Terry, we're about out of time here, but I want to thank you for that good question tonight. Stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, good evening and welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Brought to you tonight, of course, by the Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor in Richfield, Ohio. We'll have more information about that at the end of the program, but you can find out more about us. Go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can link from there to our church. You can link from there to our YouTube page. You can follow us on YouTube. Hopefully the YouTube feed is working tonight, and you can also listen to past programs there, and you can also go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And I also wanted to mention, we're also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. The East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and let them know that you heard about them here on Pastor or Live with Pastor Al. If you've never been there before, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100, located right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. Well, we're going to get back to the program here. Again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Nancy, who's been patiently waiting for us tonight. Nancy, thank you for holding.
Oh, well, thank you, Pastor Al. It's good to hear Terry again.
Yeah, I haven't heard from him for a little bit. So.
Yeah, and he's very knowledgeable and, you know, has just such a pleasant, demeanor,
mm-hmm.
Well, I just want to thank you for taking my call, and I really enjoyed your Bible study Friday night.
Well, yeah, it was good to see you last Friday night.
Thank you.
And well, and for our listeners, we have... I was going to say, in addition to our Friday afternoon radio program from 1:30 until 2 o'clock right here on this station, which, of course, is preceded by an excellent program, Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood from 1 o'clock until 1:30, and then followed by your pastor, Pastor yes. Andy Resnacko, from 2 o'clock mm-hmm. until 2:30, and that's a good 90-minute time slot for people right there.
It sure is.
And I feel honored to be sandwiched between the two pastors. So, but then on Friday night from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock, we have an informal Bible study. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express in Richfield at 5171 Brecksville Road, right where the Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77 cross. So, and it was good to see you there last Friday night.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just happy to be able to get a ride because I wanted to come, for quite a while, but it's just getting a ride is sort of the problem because I live in Euclid, so mm-hmm. half an hour. Well, anyhow, my question tonight, our topic is, you hear so much during like the prayer and praise section of, different church services,
mm-hmm.
people will pray for good health. They'll pray, oh, Lord, please heal me and, why am I so afflicted? But then they don't do their part as far as eating healthy and exercising. And I don't know if this is a good example. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So is it appropriate? I know they're talking about a saved person because mm-hmm. a lost person does not have the Holy Spirit in them.
Right.
Is it appropriate when somebody asks for prayer for good health to nicely suggest to them that they could perhaps, have a more healthy diet or maybe get some exercise, or is that being... A little bit.
No, I think that's sensible because think about it. If you want to know what the Bible says and you want to understand and learn the Bible, you kind of have to open it up and look at it every once in a while, don't you? You can't just put it under your pillow and go to sleep at night thinking it's going to percolate up through your pillow by osmosis, and then you'll wake up knowing more about the Word of God. If you want to know the Word of God, you have to make an effort to open it up, read it, and think about what you're reading, and then pray and ask God to help you understand it. And sometimes you'll hit a word that's difficult, and maybe you'll look in a dictionary, or maybe you're online, you can find some good resources online, or maybe you talk to your pastor or a teacher that you know, or somebody mature, a Christian, or somebody that just has better understanding than you do, and they can give you some guidance and direction. Sometimes you'll find a passage that's difficult, and so all these things, but that's an effort in order to learn it. Now, I'm using that by way of analogy. So if we want to be healthy, and we pray and we ask God and we say, Lord, I want to be healthy. And then we never make the effort to be healthy. Why would we expect that God will magically give us good health any more than if we prayed and said, Lord, I want to be wise and understanding and a good steward of your word, but then we never open the book up? So, in order to be wise and understanding of God's word, you've got to open up and make an effort to learn it. And therefore, in order to be healthy, we pray and we ask God for good health and to help us with our health needs. You know, God expects us to do something. Have you ever noticed in the scriptures, I think somebody called it one time the economy of miracles, meaning that God is not in the business of just doing miracles willy-nilly, you know, just throwing them out there. He expects people to do something. Remember when there was two occasions when he fed the multitudes with a few loaves and a few fishes? Remember the people said, you know, I'm hungry. People are hungry. And what are we going to do? You know, there are all these people out there, they're hungry. How are we going to take care of them? Now, Jesus, being God, could have just smiled and said, bless them, let them all be filled, and everybody would have been full and no longer hungry. He could have done that, but he didn't, did he? They said, if people are hungry, and he said, what? Well, go look and see what you can find first. And they say, hey, we found a little boy over here. He's got a few loaves and fishes. And so they bring him over, and he says, okay, now make the people sit down. You know, he could have waved his hand and put everybody in their places, but he said, make them sit down. The people had to sit down. And then Jesus took the bread and he took the fishes and he blessed it and he broke the bread and the fishes and he distributed it to the disciples, who carried it out and gave it to the crowd that was there until everybody had eaten their fill. They did a lot of work, didn't they?
Yes.
But Jesus did the one thing they couldn't do, which was multiply the loaves and fishes. But he had them do the things that they could do. And I think if you take your question about good health and things like that, God will bless in the things that we can't do, but he expects us to do the things that we can do. Here's another example. Peter, when he was taken in prison and they were going to kill him the next day, and the church was praying for him, for his deliverance, God didn't say, I'll answer your prayers, and poof, Peter disappeared from the prison and appeared at the church where they were having a prayer meeting. Instead, an angel come in, woke Peter up by kicking him. He was sleeping pretty soundly, and he woke him up, and he told him, stand up, put your shoes on, you know, and Peter did this. Now, he kept everybody asleep around him, and Peter stood up, chains fell off, he got himself ready, they walked out, and the gates of the prison opened on their own. And Peter couldn't do that, but God did that. But Peter had to walk out. God didn't just wave his hand and Peter appeared on the street. And then when he got to the street, at first he's thinking, I'm just dreaming this. Then he realized, hey, you know, God just delivered me from prison. And then he had to walk across town in the middle of the night to find out where the, you know, to go where the church was meeting to pray for him. So, again, God did what Peter couldn't, but expected Peter to do what he could.
So, now, if someone is not willing to, say, eat healthily, even if it's all spelled out for them and their doctor gives them a diet sheet or whatever, you know, you need to give up this and you should be eating that, and they don't do their part, then would you say that they really don't deserve to be healthy because they're not doing their part?
Well, if they're not willing to do anything, I mean, it's, you know, I heard an expression, it's not Bible, but some people think it is. Somebody once put a whole list of things together that people think is Bible, like cleanliness is next to godliness, but it's not in the Bible.
Yes.
Somebody said it's in First Hesitations or something like that. But, you know, God helps those who help themselves. I don't think it's biblical, I mean, in terms of being in the Bible, but there is a principle there. If you're not willing to do anything, then why is God obligated to help you? But if you are trying, you know, those that seek, what does the Bible say will happen? They'll find.
Yes, seek, you will find.
Yeah, so if you're... go ahead.
Is it okay for us, like I do know a lot about diet, you know, healthy diet, is it appropriate for me to actually tell someone, if their doctor doesn't tell them? Because, you know, doctors, they're pretty much just focused on, you know, prescription drugs and surgery.
Sometimes they get into that mindset where it's almost like blinders. I have to do what I was taught in doctor school. But, you know, when we talk with people and we help, it's like not too long ago, we have this thing. I might have even shared it with you one time called Golden Paste. It's a mixture of...
I remember that.
Yeah, remember turmeric and cinnamon and olive oil, not olive oil, coconut oil, fresh ground black pepper, cardamom, clove, you know, number of things. And you mix it up, you heat up a little bit, it forms this paste, and you take a spoonful in the morning, spoonful at night, and it has tremendous health benefits. Now, I am not a doctor. I might have studied biology, and I might be married to an RN, but I am not a doctor. I might have even had classes in college with people who were getting ready to go into pre-med, but I am not a doctor. But I do know that taking this golden paste, I had, you know, plantar fasciitis really bothering me. My one foot even wore a brace on that foot for, I think, a couple of years. I started taking the golden paste, and within a couple of weeks, the brace, they had no need for the brace. And that's just one of the benefits of it. I'm not going to go into all the benefits of it right now, but there's a ton of benefits, and you can make it at home. You know what's in it. You can buy the stuff rather inexpensively, and you don't have to spend an arm and a leg on it. And it's good for your health, and it's something that you can share with somebody. You're not a doctor prescribing medicine or anything. You're just saying, hey, look, I tried this. It worked for me. If you're not allergic to these ingredients, you might want to give it a try, too. Nothing wrong with that.
I take Relief Factor. It's advertised a lot on.
Yeah, it's a lot of the same ingredients are in that.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of the same.
There's other stuff, of course, as well. But
you know, but I think if I made the golden piece, I'd save a lot of money.
It's pretty inexpensive.
Yeah. So I'm gonna now. Is that recipe for golden paste? Is that on your website?
You know, I've had it on there in the past. I'll have to find it and put it up there again.
Yeah, I might consider, you know, starting to make and, you know, ingest the golden paste as opposed to the Relief Factor, which would probably save me a lot of money.
And you can the Relief give it a try.
It does have wonderful benefits. I know my arthritis symptoms have diminished dramatically.
Yeah.
Since I've been taking it.
Yeah. And you can share these things with people. Yeah.
Yeah. Turmeric, black pepper, omega oil, and resveratrol. And the combination is it just really works well. And if you listen to 1420.
It's advertised all the time. Yeah.
All of the talk show hosts
are
saying, I take Relief Factor, Sebastian.
And, of course, that's part of their, you know, sponsorship of their programs. But they do try it, and it does work for them. I've not done it myself, but at any rate, I'm going to have to get moving on, though, too, because I got another caller yet. But,
Thank you.
I'll have to try and find put that online if it's not online right now, Golden Paste Recipe. There's other recipes for it. I came up with my own, combined several that I found.
Did you come up with that recipe?
It's based on other people's recipes. And I've tweaked it, and works for me. It's worked for other people. So.
Oh, very good. Okay, well, thank you for taking my call. And
all right. Well, thanks. And again, good to see you at Bible study last Friday night. So.
Oh, I enjoyed it immensely.
All right. Well, God bless.
There, I'll come.
All right. Take care. God bless. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Tom calling in. Tom, welcome to the program. How you doing?
Oh, hey, Pastor. How you doing? Yeah, good show. Oh. Yeah, everything that you've addressed there, I was listening. I didn't catch all the ingredients, but yeah, what you're targeting there is inflammation.
Exactly. And not just inflammation, but also circulation.
Right.
And the key ingredient in it, really, that people don't realize is fresh ground black pepper after you get the paste formed together, because there's compounds in the black pepper that act as a catalyst allow you to use and metabolize the things that are in the turmeric and the cinnamon much more effectively.
Oh, yeah. Well, and cinnamon is great for opening up your blood passages.
It's about herbs.
So whenever you talk about herbs and stuff, I'm right there because the Lord created all them herbs for us.
Well, exactly. And many of our medicines were traditionally based on herbs and things.
Aspirin
comes from black willow.
Yep.
In fact, the name aspirin comes from the genus of the willow family, or the name of the willow family.
Indians, they used it for centuries.
Mm-hmm. In fact,
they introduced a lot of the pilgrims to herbs here when they came over.
And of course, there were things that they brought with them that were used in Europe and all around the world. And wherever you go in the world, you will find a culture that's been there. When my wife and I were in the Samoan Islands, there were certain things in the Samoan Islands, tropical plants and things that traditionally were used.
Interesting, because what come out of all this COVID talk and everything, if you read between the lines and everything, was that a lot of the people that really suffered greatly from this COVID or died from it were very low on zinc in their body.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is zinc is really interesting from the biological standpoint because there's zinc receptors on the membrane of the cell, and the zinc there helps prevent the virus from attaching to the cell, which it needs to do.
It's good for flu and other things.
Mm-hmm.
Because
flu is a virus too. So
right, it is a great immune system booster.
Yeah, but you know something that's really interesting about zinc, and I might have shared this with you before, at the moment of conception, at the beginning of a new life, the zinc receptors the little spots on the cell membrane release zinc ions, which causes the cell to literally fluoresce and light up.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
You know, think about that.
Yeah.
Let there be light, in a sense, and there's a new life.
Well, the Lord is just totally endless with his ways.
Yeah, it's just amazing because you go online. Now there's some people trying to poo-poo it. It's not really light; it's fluorescence.
Well,
lightning bugs light up by fluorescence. I understand that, but we call it light.
I always had a fascination with science, but I don't worship science like a lot of people do today.
No, and you know what? Most of the, a lot of the old scientists in the past were people who studied science so that they could better understand God's creation.
There you go. Well, a lot of them were Christians. I mean,
at least had a Christian worldview.
Yeah,
a biblical worldview.
I had a quick question.
Yes,
I had a Bible question.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I'm not sure what verse it is. I think it's in chapter 17, book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this woman in 17, and what is this last this kingdom Babylon, the mystery Babylon? Who is mystery Babylon? Do we know?
Oh, my. Yeah, that is a big one. We got a little less than 5 minutes. Let's just at least hit a couple of highlights on that.
Yeah, we can pick it up maybe next week or when because maybe I'll come down to the Bible study Friday.
Yeah, but it is interesting because this woman is identified as Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17:5, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And a lot of people believe, and I believe this is the false religious system that
it wouldn't be America, could it?
No. I think this there's a Babylon in terms of a political system, but this one here I believe is the religious system.
Oh.
And this one here
could be the church that, you know, the false church that's going to comprise all the churches that are left behind, right?
You know, the Pope had planned a thing on May 14th, this past May 14th. It was canceled because of the coronavirus pandemic. This is one of the reasons I don't think the pandemic was supposed to start until September and rather than when it did the beginning of this year. I think it just got out early. This conference that he had scheduled for May 14th that was postponed to, I believe, October, they were going to say why the world's religions all needed to come together and the world governments all needed to come together to form a global government and a global religion. He had already postponed a March meeting where the Pope was going to talk about why we needed to subordinate all the world's economies into one global digital economy. And and this all ties in with
A couple years ago, if you remember, they had a big council, and they actually drew a lot closer to the Lutheran Church now, you know.
Yeah, and the Lutheran Church drawing closer to the Catholic Church, and they want to bring everything under that head.
Yeah, when the true church is taken out of the way, a lot of these denominational churches or even these independent churches that really are not teaching the word of God are people that are
and not just them, but Muslim and Hindu and animistic
it's all going to form under the false prophet.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Listen, great show. Thanks for taking my call. Maybe we'll get into that a little deeper when I see you.
All right, sounds great. And thanks for calling tonight, Tom. Appreciate that.
All right, thank you for taking my call. God bless you.
Well, God bless you as well. Stay safe out there and do pray for our country. There's a lot of things going on right now. Had a number of other things that we might have touched on tonight, but we really don't have the time at the moment. But I do want to follow up on something we touched on with Tom right there about the plans and things. And there were other international conferences that were planned for this spring and early summer that were all basically prevented by this pandemic. And then, of course, after the pandemic started falling by the wayside and things starting to open up, now we've got the riots and things like this. And it's interesting. I didn't have a chance to get into it tonight. Maybe next Friday I will on our Friday program. Open letter for advocating for an anti-racist public health response to demonstrations against systematic injustice occurring during the COVID-19 pandemic, signed by nearly 1,300 public health professionals, infectious disease professionals, community stakeholders. And in this, the same people who are saying you can't go to church, you can't have a wedding with more than 10 people or a funeral with more than 10 people say, but this message must be wholly different from the response to white protesters resisting stay-at-home orders. In other words, protests against this must be supported, and they need to be able to go to these things even though they can't go to church. You can't have a wedding.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.